is in the building.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, night, or whatever time it might be. Thank you for tuning in to a very, very special episode of the Choso Podcast here on theswabreport.com. I'm your host, JG Smooth, and today is the much-anticipated Choso special one-on-one sit-down interview with UCO head football coach Nick Bobek. Again, a lot of work behind the scenes went into securing this interview, so I hope you all enjoy. It's about 24 minutes or so. I discuss a variety of topics about coach himself and about UCO football. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and I will talk to you all at the conclusion of the interview. We're joined by UCO head coach Nick Bobek. Coach, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. You know, I talk about you a lot. Sound bites from your post game press conferences to our listeners, but I realize I didn't know a lot about you. So, would you mind telling them a little bit about yourself?
Oh man, goodness! I'm an Oklahoma kid. I grew up here in the state. I grew up in Beaver, Oklahoma. Went to school here at UCO. Played football here, and got my coaching start here at the University of Central Oklahoma. You know, had two really good mentors. Obviously Gary Howard was my coach here, and I started my coaching career under Chuck Langston, who I hold Chuck in great regard. I know a lot of people here at UCO don't, but I definitely do, and for the influence that he's had on my life. And from here, I was able to go to Navarro Junior College, and I was there for one semester, coaching quarterbacks and receivers, and then I got an opportunity to go to Texas A&M, work under Dennis Franchione for a semester and a season, and which was a great experience as far as growth and opening my eyes to some different ways of doing things, and then I had an opportunity to go back to Navarro Junior College as the offensive coordinator, and there was a coaching change there, and then I had that opportunity, and we made some great strides that year. Ended up winning a conference championship in our first year, and the head coach got a job at Lamar University. They were starting the program, they were restarting the program. I was kind of in the right place at the right time, and was able to get that job, and we had a great deal of success, especially early on. Had an opportunity in both of my first 2 years to play for a conference championship. Got beat. I was undefeated going into those games. We were undefeated going to those games and lost both of them. The third year, we found a way to win it, get into the national championship game, and then we won the national championship. And the following year, had a really good year and ended up getting this job. When it came open, and so it's kind of here. It's been a ride. There's no question about that. We had 46 kids on the team when we first got here, and went through that first spring, and it was tough. We got our brains beat in the first 2 years. I thought I was a pretty good coach when I first got here, and then we go 2-8 and 2-8. And I figured out I wasn't nearly as good a football coach as I thought, and it had a lot to do with players. And but we've always recruited well. I've got great coaches that I've been able to work with, and great group of kids that have bought into a way that we like to do things. And you're starting to kind of see it in these last several years. We're becoming a little bit more consistent. Since 2014, we had the dip in 2016 that was just a tough year, and really I didn't do a great job that year, to be honest with you, as a coach and leader, trying to get that group motivated to go play good football. We turned the ball over and had some tough things go against us that year. And but man, this is it's a great place. I love UCO, being an alum, and my family loves it here. I've got three kids, and my wife has really become connected connected within the community. And so we really enjoy Edmond, Oklahoma, and really enjoy the University of Central Oklahoma and the people we get to work with here.
You mentioned recruiting. What do you and your staff look for in a potential recruit?
Well, the number one thing is we have core values that we believe in very much here at UCO, and number one is trust. Number two is character, and number three is effort. So, you know, you've got to be an individual that we can trust. You know, we're going to trust you starting off until you prove that you can't be trusted. You know, and obviously there goes some homework into that. You know, figuring out who a kid is before we bring them on campus, and you know, and then you know what type of character that bleeds directly into how much you can trust an individual. And what type of competitive character he has as well. You know, so that's kind of a twofold, you know, double-edged sword. You know, we term character as who are you when nobody's watching. You know, and obviously, you know, college kids are going to make college mistakes. But our job, I believe, as much as anything as coaches, is to be mentors and try to help these young men to grow into productive adults. You know, there's not a lot of these guys, you know, typically. From Division II programs, they're going to have an opportunity to go on and play in the NFL and make football a career as far as playing. So we have a greater, in my opinion, we have a greater cause than just football. If all of a young man does is come into this program and he gets a degree, great. You know, and he plays football, great. You know, but you know, I think that's all they do. That's the bare minimum. I think we failed as coaches. You know, the greatest pride that you get from, in my opinion, is when guys come back and they feel like you know, that they've, you know, football and the university itself has positively affected their lives and their families' lives. And then the last one is effort. And I believe effort is some people believe you can't teach effort or you don't need to teach effort. We emphasize effort in everything you do. I think effort's a life skill. You know, it's you know, it takes great effort to be a great husband. You know, it takes great effort to be a great father. It's not, you don't just wake up and walk through life. You know, it takes effort, and it's a choice every day to do what you're supposed to do, take care of the responsibilities that you have. And you know, we teach that a great deal. And it's not just running the football on Saturdays. It's not, you know, it's about, you know, making sure that you handle your grade checks, you're in class every day, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do on and off the field. That takes effort, because that's not really what the world tells us, you know, is right. So we talk about that a great deal, but most everything that we revolve around is life skills, and finding kids that fit that. You know, it's very important, you know, finding kids that want to do that, you know, and not to say that a young man can't make mistakes and make it here. That's definitely not the case. You know, that's definitely not the case. But we're going to help mold them and develop them over the course of their time here.
When those kids do come back and say that UCO has had a great impact on their life, what does that mean to you?
Oh man, it's probably the most rewarding feeling that you get as a coach, to be quite honest with you, because we tell kids all the time in recruiting and, you know, while they're here, the 4 or 5 years that you're here at the University of Central Oklahoma, yeah, they're important. You know, but they're nowhere near as important as the 40 to 50 that follow. And, you know, being able to kind of help kids get put off on the right foot and get moving in the right direction, I think is really, really the main objective of what college athletics is all about. I mean, there was an article in 2014 in Money Magazine where it was talking about the success of student athletes, collegiate student athletes in the workplace, and you know, and the satisfaction levels were 10% higher for former student athletes than it was for general population students. And you know, there's a lot of ways to be involved on campus, but I think the great thing that collegiate athletics teaches is time management, money management, friend management. You're learning how to work in teams. You're learning how to overcome adversity. There's a lot of different things that can teach that, but you really force feed it in athletics, you know, because these young men and young women on this campus and other campuses, you know, they've got a great challenge in front of them as far as what they do in comparison to a lot of others. Now, there's a lot of other kids that are over there, they're working full-time jobs, and there's a lot of, you know, non-traditional students over there that are working full-time jobs and have kids, and there's a lot of other ways to do it, but typically the typical college student, that's kind of what we're looking at coming straight out of high school.
You coached at both the JUCO level, the Division I level, and the D2 level. What would you say is the biggest difference between the D1 and D2 level?
Money. Oh, yeah. No question. And, you know, but kids are kids. Football's football. Scheme is scheme. You know, I tell kids that all the time. I mean, even kids coming out of high school, and I mean, you still run power the same way. I mean, it's what's different is the verbiage, you know, and there's maybe some little techniques and stuff like that are different. But, you know, obviously at the Division I level, so much money because of exposure and television and all that stuff. That's the biggest deal at the Division I level, and then junior, you know, it goes down the line, right, from there, really. And but I mean, football's football, you know, as far as coaching, kids are kids, you know, and you know, I hear people tell all the time with kids these days, kids haven't changed, people's changed, and the, you know, society's changed. And I think that's the thing, is people want to have responsibility. People need to have somebody that, you know, they need structure, you know, and people crave that. They just don't know it. You know, they just don't know it, and then once they kind of get it, they figure it out, and this is right. So that's you know, there's really not a huge difference other than the money.
So this year, you know, you guys had lost a few playmakers from last season, Chad Stoller, Josh Crockett, and JT Lupra, along with other guys. Started off kind of slow, but have picked up lately, I believe, winning 5 out of your last 6. What has been the key to the recent turnaround?
You know, I think there's a lot, to be honest with you, that has gone into that. You know, early in the year, we knew we had a talented football team. You know, we had some attrition like late in the summer that had a little bit to do with it, specifically on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, and then we were young on the offensive line. You know, we're playing with one senior, and then we've had some, you know, a revolving door at the quarterback position. There's been some tough stuff. But, you know, early in the year when we were healthy, you know, the biggest thing is Pittsburgh State was really stinking good. You know, that was the biggest part of it, and they were better than we were at that time. You know, we came out here, and, you know, we concentrate on 6 things in every football game. Is number one is don't beat yourself. You know, that has to do with penalties, missed assignments. Are you playing hard? That stuff all goes into don't beat yourself. Well, in that football game, we end up with a drop in the end zone where we end up having to kick a field goal. You know, we end up fumbling inside the 20-yard line down here against Nebraska Kearney, which that was one of our other things that we talk about a great deal in our plan for success is winning the turnover margin. That was the only turnover in that football game. And we did it inside the red zone. Well, you go back now, you're going to red zone touchdowns. You don't talk about just red zone scores, it's red zone touchdowns. So you're in the red zone and you don't come out with a touchdown or a field goal. So now you're really behind the eight ball. It's essentially a 7-point swing. You know, you end up losing that football game by 4 points. There's a lot of ifs and buts and all those type of things, which, you know, we had an opportunity to win the game, and we didn't win the game. You go up late in the game and we don't get a stop. And then we drive down, you know, and have an opportunity still late in the game to put the ball in the end zone and don't get it done. But even if you're able to kick a field goal in that one situation down here where you turn the ball over, you at least can kick a field goal or have an attempt at a field goal late in that football game, and you still win the game, right? You know, because you lose the game by 4. But, you know, and Kearney, what everybody doesn't know is Kearney's a good football team, you know, and they've beaten some good football teams. And then, you know, we just completely laid an egg up at Fort Hays. Just didn't play very well at all. There's really nothing behind that I know of, other than, you know, we've you know, we've challenged some people. We've had to move some people down depth charts and some different stuff like that. And it's, you know, we've got a football team that's playing pretty good right now. We feel pretty good about who we are. And obviously, we wish we'd have played better early in the year. I don't know that we'd have beat Pittsburgh State early in the year. I think they were just better than us. You know, we screwed up the Nebraska-Kearney game, and that one's going to haunt us, I think. I feel like that one's going to haunt us probably here towards the end of this season. But it is what it is. What can you do about it? There's no such thing as going backwards. So, but we've got some kids that are believing in what they're doing right now, and they're playing hard. We've not turned the football over for the most part. You know, we've turned it over 5 times on the season. You know, but those turnovers are big. You know, turnovers are huge, and when we're starting to create some turnovers, so we're +6 in turnover margin on the season, and I think that's a big piece because statistically we're not tearing it up on the offensive side of the ball. We are who we are. You know, part of that's, you know, kind of turnover at the quarterback position. We're not running the ball real well like we have in the past. We're finding a way to win football games. We're playing well on the defensive side of the ball, and we're playing physical on that side of the ball, which is paramount as far as winning football games.
You mentioned your quarterback shuffling. All three, I believe, have won a game for you. So I guess my first question about that would be, how did you amass so much talent at quarterback at one time? And then how do you go about managing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I think the one of the greatest things in sport is creating competition, and you know, those guys compete against each other, but they're also really good friends. You know, all those guys support each other a very, very, very great deal, and you know, it is unfortunate that we've had the injuries that we've had. But at the end of the day, that also just gives somebody else an opportunity, somebody else to step in. And it's kind of been the same thing. You know, we had issues at the running back position last year, you know, that are somewhat similar. We just, you know, next guy in, and you just go play. So, but those guys they're uber talented. You know, there was a big question mark about the quarterback position coming into the season, and everybody was asking me all the time. And I'm like, I mean, Keats Calhoun is the second all-time leading passer in the state of Oklahoma in high school history. I mean, there's no slouch right there. You know, Chandler Garrett was a Wyoming signee going out of high school, and Will Collins wins state championship as a senior and as a Gatorade Player of the Year and signs with Louisiana Monroe. I mean, you know, there's talented kids there, and I think, you know, part of recruiting, I think, is just building relationships and doing it the right way, you know. And when you do things the right way, you know, things end up coming back to you. Kids like Will Collins and Chandler Garrett end up calling us, you know. And so you take those guys when they have the opportunity to do so, and when you treat people the right way, and you treat the high school coaches in the state the right way, and that stuff comes back to you, and we're starting to get some of that.
You mentioned the physicality of your defense. One guy I noticed that's been physical as of late is Jakari Hunt. Mm-hmm. I mean to ask you about him. What about Jakari do you like? He doesn't seem to be the biggest person, but he seems to really bring it when he's on the field.
Yeah, no, Jakari's a really good football player. You know, Jakari's kind of a crazy story because we signed him 2 years before he actually started playing here. And, you know, he had some academic issues coming out of junior college. We stuck with him. We kept working on him and kept working on him and kept working on him. And he kept trying and trying and trying. And finally, you know, he was ready to play last year. And then we found out right there before the season that he was going to have to redshirt. And because there was a miscalculation in his GPA, which was disappointing for him, it was disappointing for all of us as coaches and a team. But he's, you know, it speaks to his character, the way that he's been able to stick with it and continue to push. And Jakari's a really talented kid. He's got a kind of a knack. He's got really natural movement skills and has a really good feel for angles. And that's kind of what creates some of the explosiveness from him is the angles that he takes. And, he just has a really good feel for space. And that stuff's hard to teach. You either have that or you don't. And and he's got it. There's no question about that. So we're really proud of Jakari.
Is there any players that have surprised you so far this season?
Man, I think Malik Walker is kind of an unsung hero on our football team. You know, he's a young man out of Spiro, Oklahoma, that came here, you know, out of junior college. He went to NEO, came here with 3 years left to play, and has, you know, he walked on, you know, earned a scholarship, worked his way up the depth chart, and has really, even last year, was one of our most steady players, towards the end of last season. Just a steady guy, you know, and you know, you can always count. He's goes back to trust, and he goes back to character, and those things. He plays on every special team, so obviously there's a great deal of effort there, and he's won special teams player of the week each of the last 2 weeks. And it's not things that people see. People aren't gonna. He's not blowing anybody away with statistics or anything like that. But I think that guy has been a really, really, really good player for us this season. I don't know statistically, it's not gonna show up, you know. But that guy is really, really solid, and one of the best football players on our team.
Has any position group surprised you so far?
Man, I mean, it's you know, the receiver group has surprised me somewhat. You know, you mentioned the two kids we lost last year in JT Looper and Josh Crockett, but we've got a really talented receiver group. Now, they're young, and there's been some inconsistencies with that group, but you know, that is a really talented group, and you know, we're starting to kind of see them more, you know, round into shape here towards the end of the season. So I'm excited to kind of see how they finish here and see if we can continue to grow from a maturity standpoint with that group and be more consistent.
You mentioned the youth in that group. I know you have Tyrone Howell, the true freshman that plays, and then Mikael Hall was a guy you were high on since signing day a couple of years ago from John Marshall. But I noticed a guy, Ronald Monroe, I believe, has made more catches recently than he had before. What has been the key to his?
You know, Ronald just kind of has a feel. He's kind of the Swiss Army knife of that group. He's older guy, and we don't have very many old guys in that group. And, he can kind of fit some different roles and so forth. So that's what puts him in a good situation to make plays on Saturdays. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's a guy that we, for the most part, can trust to put in any situation, and he's going to function.
Finally, you have 3 games left on the season here. What do you want to see from your team to close out the season?
You know, a big emphasis this week has been, you know, just concentrating on us. And that's, I think, it's so easy to get caught up in, well, this happened against this team, and they played this against this team, and their record's this or whatever it may be. And that's really not, you know, the point. You know, the point is, you know, do you have some intrinsic value about how you play, about how you perform, and the pride that you have about the brand that you're putting on the field every week, you know. And that's, I think that's what these next several games are about. The thing we don't want to do, because everybody talks about Missouri Southern and NSU, and they're down. They are. It is what it is, you know. But you know, they're college football players, and they're good football players, and they've got good coaches, and you have to go play and play well every week. And it's not about necessarily what records are or anything like that. You know, you get a little bit of a boost next week because it's a rivalry game. But if you can finish strong, you know, hopefully you can win 8 football games this regular season, and then see what happens. You know, I think we got an outside chance to get into the playoffs. You know, I don't know how feasible that is. I think there's some magic that has to happen to be able to do that. But I think you got a real chance to get into the bowl, into a bowl game, and then go from there. And that's. But it's 1 week at a time. All the cliche things that you hear over and over. But it really is. It's just, you know, concentrate on what we do. You know, make sure that you're playing to the brand, the toughest, hardest playing, most, you know, the toughest, hardest playing, most competitive football team on the field, and then execute the 6 pieces of our plan for success. And if you can do that, you're going to win football games, and it takes care of itself.
Well, Coach, again, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it here on the podcast. So, again, this is the show here, a special with head coach Nick Bobek. Coach, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And I wish you the best of luck on the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
So there you go. Again, thank you all for listening to the very special episode of the Chosho Podcast here, the first ever live interview that we've had on the show. Hopefully, it is the first of many. I'm trying to get a couple of more in here at some point in the near future. I have some ideas for another special in a couple of weeks for senior night that I am working on currently, as well as something in the works for National Signing Day, and maybe spring football. So again, I hope you all enjoyed this special. We'll be back to regular social podcast again next week. So thank you all for listening. My name is JG Smooth, and I will talk to you all later.
Bye, have a beautiful time.